Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is great, the great King above all kings. His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 generations I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray. They have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger that they should never enter my rest. The title of this talk, God's Rhythm of Life, a call to worship, a call to listen. The heart of Psalm 95 is quite simple. God invites us to come close and cautions us not to drift away. It brings together joy and seriousness, celebration and challenge. It begins with a call to joyful worship and praise and ends with a somewhat sober reminder of what happens when God's people stop listening. But in a sense, a rhythm for life with God. The invitation to joyful worship in verses 1 and 2. Here the psalm opens with a burst of energy. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Worship is not a quiet, polite murmur, the sort of thing British people particularly good at, but rather it is wholehearted, noisy and communal. It is the sound of people together, people who know their love. For me, there are three things that stand out in these verses. Worship is communal. Let us sing. Let us come before him. Faith is not a solo sport, not something to be practiced in isolation, but together as a group of followers. It is expressive. Singing, shouting, thanksgiving. God knows what's in our heart. I think sometimes we just need to be less reserved and more open to the Spirit leading us, especially during times of worship. It is relational. We come before him, not before an idea or concept, or some intellectual exercise, or indeed a tradition, but a living God. We come before him for who he is. He is Almighty God. In our small church community, and this resonates with all other churches throughout the land, we know the power of gathering, whether it's a secular event or a rugby match or a Sunday morning worship gathering. We are a gathering of his people. Psalm 95 says, bring that same wholehearted worship to God. The reason for worship is given in verses 3 to 5. The psalmist doesn't ask us to worship blindly. He gives reasons. First, the God is the great King above all other gods. The depths of the earth and the mountain peaks are his. The sea is his. He made it. The dry land is his. He formed it. This is a vast sweeping vision from the lowest valley to the highest hill, from the roaring sea to the solid ground beneath our feet. Everything we see in a walk around Woodstock or Blenheim, everything we admire on a rugged coastal footpath with breathtaking views, everything that makes us wonder and awe, that belongs to God. Worship, then, is not some sort of escapism, some diversion from the world. Worship is real. It recognizes the world for what it truly is, the world that God created. It's God's world. verses 6 to 7a talks about the invitation to reverent worship. And here the tone shifts from loud, joyous praise to one of quiet humility. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So why the change? From joyous celebration to a more sober exhortation to submit to the Lord with obedient hearts. Not just on bended knee, but with submission from the heart. Because worship is not only celebration, it's an act of submission. Not only singing, it's about listening. Be open and ready for God to speak. Not only joy, it's about trust, trusting in our Maker, trusting Him with our lives, our whole lives. And this psalmist reminds us, He is our God. We, that's you and me, are the people of His pasture. We are the flock under His care. This is not some far-off, distant God, some deity who is there, but perhaps not quite there. The language used is intimate, caring, pastoral. We are His flock, and He is our shepherd. God is not only creator and king in Psalm 95, He is our shepherd. He knows us, leads us, protects us, and calls us individually by name. Now, if ever there was something that was guaranteed to humble you before Him, a God that knows you and me intimately and calls to each one of us to follow Him. Well, that's something else. And then we come to verses 7b through to 11, a warning. Do not harden your hearts. As with all good policy statements or announcements, you now have a health warning that goes with it. The psalm takes a surprising turn. Just when we expect a final flourish of praise, to finish on a real high, we get a warning. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. The references to Meribah and Massah, we call Israel's wilderness rebellion, moments when the people doubted God's goodness despite all He had done. It's a strange way to end a worship psalm, or why end with a warning? Because, quite simply, worship without obedience is empty. Because, quite simply, singing without listening really is dangerous. Not in some melodramatic sense, but listening to one another, listening to our Maker, keeps us connected to the source of our being, connected to our God. Because, quite simply, God wants our hearts, not just us singing our hymns or songs. The warning is not meant to cause concern or frighten, but it's more to awake. It's God saying, in the context of being a believer and a follower of Christ, it is deeply relevant. Hardness of heart rarely arrives suddenly. It creeps in through disappointment, through routine, through distraction, through self-reliance. I will do it my way, not God's way. Hardness of heart often takes time to distance you from God. Psalm 95 calls us back to true wholehearted worship, being responsive to and trusting in God. In summary, Psalm 95 gives us a rhythm for life with God. Lift your voice, bow your heart, open your ears, and guard your heart. Lift your voice, because God is worthy of our praise, our worship. Bow your heart, because God is holy. Come before an awesome God. Open your ears, because God is speaking. Learn to listen in the stillness of that quiet voice. Guard your heart, because drifting is easy. Don't follow the ways of the world. Don't stray, but study His word and follow God's way. Psalm 95 begins with joy and ends with a sense of urgency. It invites us to worship with all of our lives and to listen out for God speaking. I should have opposing thought. The psalm's final word is not one of judgment, but one of invitation. Today, if you hear his voice. Today, God is waiting for you. He is always open and never sleeps. Today, he has great plans for you. Today, we are his flock, and he is our shepherd. Today, he is our Savior. Lord, may you bless these words. May we ask that we receive them into our hearts and into our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.